right now. Embrace this moment with us.
We're gonna say we can, man. do it all on Sunday. But nevertheless, we honor the Lord this evening. Amen. And the one thing that I read from Love the Bishops is that you have to be faithful to service and to God, even if it's only two or three. Amen. We should remain faithful to God. So tonight, we want to be faithful. Amen. We pray that God bless the women at the Women's Conference. Amen. But how many came to church to hear a word from the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Came to hear a word from the Lord. Amen. And as I said before, on Sundays, we kind of skim our messages. We touch only the surface. Amen. And many times, especially when we have a message like we had on this past Sunday about being a spiritual renegade, amen, we like to go a little deeper. Amen. Can somebody help me by saying a little deeper?
A little deeper.
Amen. Amen. So we want to go a little deeper. So we're going to ask you to stand tonight. Amen. And we're going to continue on the thought of being a spiritual renegade. But what we want to do is we're going to identify the characteristic or the traits, amen, of a spiritual renegade. Amen. Some indicators to know that we who is a spiritual renegade. So we're going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to read together verses 1 through 8. Amen. When you get it, can we say amen? And we pray that for those who don't have it, we should have it on the screen. Amen. So a spiritual renegade. Now on Sunday we said a renegade is someone who breaks a trust, breaks a covenant, or someone who becomes a traitor or a betrayer. Amen. A renegade is someone who is an apostasy. Apostasy is they're no longer in the truth. Amen. So that's what is a spiritual renegade. Amen. So we're going to read verses 1 through 8 of 2 Timothy. Amen. Do we all have it?
Amen.
Verse 1 reads, this know also that in the last days,
perilous times.
These are dangerous, challenging times. This word perilous means dangerous, challenging, or hard times. Amen. Not easy times. And how many know these are the what?
Last days.
Amen. Verse 2. For men, that we're identifying the character traits of a what? Renegade. Amen. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. We can stop there and turn off the news on TV. Amen. You watch the news, they hit everything. Take it, amen. Amen. Without natural affection, all these homosexual and gay marriages and stuff, that's not natural. That is abnormal, unnatural, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fears, despisers of those. Amen. How can you get mad at you for doing something good? Amen. Even in the church today, the church has a bad reputation for doing good. So these all indicators of the last of the perilous time are those that are spiritual renegades. Amen. First four said they're what?
Traitors.
Now we said a renegade is a what? Traitor. These are indicators, characteristics of the last days. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures. Lord, we bless you. Hallelujah. Lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having. They look all right. Amen. They talk all right, but they walk ain't the same. Amen. Denying the power thereof, from such
turn away.
For this sort of they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Dennis and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also. The renegades will do what? Resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning. Amen. May the Lord bless and bless to the reading of the word. And the church said, the word of the Lord is blessed.
Already
you may be seated. Amen. So Paul in write to Timothy, he said, these will be some perilous times, dangerous times. And brothers and sisters, if we ever live in a time that's dangerous, it's dangerous. Amen. I don't know. Just watch the news. Lord have mercy. What is going on with people? And I was speaking to James. Oh, brother, praise the Lord. Isn't it good to see James?
Amen.
James Jordan, all the way from Philadelphia. Amen. And Brandon, all the way from Philadelphia. Amen. We just bless the Lord for having him here with us. Amen. Somebody introduce him today. This is the captain of the LaSalle basketball team. So we're so glad to have the captain when he was in school on the LaSalle basketball team. Amen. Amen. So when you stand up, you'll know why, because he just keep going and keep going and keep going. Amen. But nevertheless, we bless the Lord. But I was talking to James earlier. Amen. How many are following the events that are taking place over in Sudan with the lady that was converted to Christianity from the Muslim faith? Amen. She was converted to Christianity. And when she converted, her brother turned her in. And she's been flogged. And when they flog, they don't just tap you, they beat you. She was beaten to deny the faith or to break her loyalty to Christianity. She refused to break her vow or turn her back on the Lord. She refused to be a renegade.
Right.
Amen. She remained committed and faithful. They said if she doesn't deny Christ and Christianity, she's pregnant. They're now going to hang her. Amen. But she refused. She said, under no circumstances will I deny my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm so glad, hallelujah, that she has a conviction to stand for her faith. So she's not going to deny, she's not going to break her loyalty and commitment to God, even at the face of death. Amen. And that's the type of mindset that we should have in the church. But if you follow the news, you got all of the young girls that have been taken away from their families. Because they're trying to convert them to Muslims. I mean, there's catastrophes and disasters and things happening all over. These are indeed the last days. I was speaking with someone and they were saying, never before has the weather patterns across the world been so crazy. Amen. Floods. Like out west, now they have all these wildfires. And they said the wildfire season didn't even start yet. So I said, if we have all these wildfires now, what's going to happen once the season starts? So I was speaking to a gentleman the other day, and he was like, we were talking, you know, this is a church community, saying, what is going on? The weather is crazy. And the guy was a minister, he said, well, haven't you ever heard of the signs of the times? He said, these are the times the Lord is about to come back. So all of this stuff is happening, and everybody can say this is abnormal, it's unusual. But they don't want to credit the Bible as being as prophecy being fulfilled, that these are the last days. Well, the spirit of a renegade, not keeping a commitment to God, is also an indicator of the last days. All right, so Paul tells Timothy, the number one thing for anyone that's departing from the truth or becoming a renegade is that they are lovers of their own selves. Amen. And as we said, we went over it on Sunday. The last church age is called what church age? Laodicea. And Laodicea means what? The will of the people, or the people rule. Amen. That is one of the signs of the last days. It's the will of the people, or the people rule. No longer is it, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. But we reverse it. We said, Lord, no longer your will, but my will be done. Spiritual renegade. Amen. Those that will not stay committed to God because they love themselves more than God. Amen. It says, not only do they love themselves, but covetous means they love money. Greedy for money. These are all indicators. Now, we all should respect ourselves, have self-esteem. but not before God. Amen. God should always be number one. Amen. And verse 4 says, they would be traitors. Traitors mean they are no longer standing for truth of what is right. No longer standing for truth of what is right. And now with that in mind, let's just go to Luke chapter 6, verse 16 real fast. Traitors, they no longer stand for what is truth or what is right. Amen. And we're going to go over someone that was a spiritual renegade. Amen. Luke 6 and verse 16. When we have it, can we say amen? If we don't, we know where it's on the screen. So one of the other things that Paul tells Timothy is that a spiritual renegade will have a form of godliness, but they will be doing what? Denying the power thereof. From such, we have to do what? Amen. When you see someone that's just going through the motions of being saved, you need to what? Turn away from that. Amen. Luke 6:16 reads, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which was the
traitor.
Amen. Now the thing about Judas Iscariot, he walked with the Lord for how long?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. Ate, slept, he did everything with the Lord, but yet he betrayed him. He became a traitor. Amen. And the thing is, the Lord, if you read it, I think in another account somewhere, I think in the end of Matthew, the Lord says, what thou doest, do quickly. And he sent Judas out. He said, when Judas left, the devil entered into him. Why did the devil enter him? Because he was no longer committed to God. He was no longer loyal. So Judas was a traitor. Amen. A traitor is another name for a renegade. That is the greatest spiritual renegade that ever lived. He turned on the Lord himself. Amen. He was day and night. He saw all of the miracles. He saw all the wonderful works that the Lord did, yet he became a traitor. Amen. Why? Because there were some things in him that wasn't right. Amen. And the thing is, now if you read the account of Judas, he would be with the Lord at one time, and then he would sneak away from the Lord at other times to plot and connive. But you know how good God is? Didn't Jesus see it because he knows? He knew it. He knew he was going behind his back and plotting and conniving to sell him for 30 pieces of silver, which was the price of a slave. But the Lord did not change his disposition towards Judas, though he knew he would betray him. Amen. How good of a God do we serve? Even when we mess up, he's still our faithful God. Even when we don't have it all together, God is still faithful. So Judas, you know, in the Bible, whenever you read the Bible, it says that the Lord already knew their thoughts. Amen. And the Lord already knew this. The Lord knew that Judas was plotting and conniving to betray him, but he did not change his disposition towards Judas. What an example for us to follow. Amen. No wonder Peter says that we should follow in his steps. For when he was reviled, he reviled not again. Amen. When they buffeted him, the Lord did not respond in a negative way. What a wonderful example for us to follow. So Judas betrayed the Lord and was with him for 3 years. His whole ministry, except for the earlier part, Judas was a part of the Lord's ministry. Yet, he did not love the truth. Amen. He had the form of godliness, but he was denying the power thereof. Amen. So now if we go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Amen. I'm not going to keep you long. I'm going to go fast. Amen. But I just want to identify for ourselves. You know, one of the greatest things about the Word of God, the Bible says, whoso looketh into the what? Perfect law of liberty. When we look into God's word, we honor God's word, and we're obedient, it sets us free. Amen. And the number one thing that we need to do on a daily basis, Lord, I want to find out, when I read the Word of God and then I look at the reflection of me in the Word, am I in there? Amen. We need to read God's Word, and then we need to let God's Word be a reflection of us so that we can check ourselves out to find out where are we in the Word. So 2 Timothy 3:4 reads, traitors and heady. Amen. Even in church, some people get such a big head, you can't tell them anything. That person is on the verge of being in a very dangerous spiritual position. Amen. None of us, amen, get so high that we cannot receive instructions. Amen. The Bible says a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A wise man. Amen. How many of you know someone is wise? Because they will sit down and hear. Then after they listen, they will increase learning. Amen. But a fool will not. A fool will not even take the slightest correction because they are always right. But a wise man. Anybody want to be wise?
Amen.
Amen. James asked, he said, who's a wise man among you? Who's wise? Amen. We need to be wise tonight more than anything. Amen. So it says, they're heady, they are what? High-minded. Now we're trying to identify the traits of those that are a renegade, of those who are slipping away from the what? Faith. Amen. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures. But that's not the indictment. The indictment is love of the prince is what? More than lovers of God. Amen. When you see people say, I don't have time for church because I have to do this, and they got to do that, they're in a very dangerous spiritual position. Because anything you put before God becomes an idol. An idol is anything you put before God. When pleasures, amen, and fulfilling our own desires are more important than God, that person, by all means, is slipping away. Now, I'm not too much on beaches and swimming and all that stuff, but I know how nature and law works. Anybody ever go out to the beach? Not the East Coast, but on the West Coast. Amen. Even on the East Coast, because they have the tide that comes in and the tide that goes out. Well, whenever you go out on the water, the water on the surface can be calm. Amen. And recently, Rockness Church, the pastor went out and there was a young person that was his armor bearer, a young man, and he wound up drowning. Because he called for prayer. But what happened was, when you go in the water, and this is the tide that's happening today within the church and in the communities, when you're out on the water on the surface, everything looks calm. But if you don't pay attention, there is an undercurrent that you do not see. So what happens is you are enjoying yourself, but what you don't realize is that undercurrent is taking you out further and further and further away from shore. And if you're not conscious enough, when you look up, you will be so far away. And then when you get out so far and try and get back, that current will pull you down. Well, that's the current that's in America and in the church today. The devil is letting the surface be smooth, but there's an undercurrent. And that undercurrent is gradually snatching true faithful believers away further and further. Amen. When my father was alive, we went fishing once. And I'll never forget, we were fishing, it was nice, and all of a sudden there was a big storm. And when the storm came, he was trying to row the boat, but he couldn't row the boat because the more he rowed, the further we got out, away from the shore. But then, down as we were going down, there was a dam that went over. And I was about 12 years old at this time. And what my father did, because he realized that he couldn't beat the current rowing in, And if the current was taking him where it wanted to go, what he did is he allowed the current to take him. But he allowed the current to take him until he came to shore. And then what he did is instead of trying to fight the current to get to where we needed to go, he came up along the shoreline. I never forget it as a kid. I was like, man, that was a smart move because we were heading for the falls. And the more he rode, the further we were getting away. So what he did is he went with the flow until we got close enough to the shore that he could maneuver. And what he did is he came all the way up. I mean, the current took us way away from where we needed to be. But he came all the way up on the shore. But what he did, when we got close to the shore, he told me, he said, you get out and you walk. Because I couldn't swim. He couldn't swim. He said, you get out and you walk. And what he did is he rolled the boat. And I walked up on the street and walked all the way to the watch. He rolled all the way along the shoreline because there wasn't a current. The church needs to get back closer to the shoreline of the Word of God. Because they're out in the middle of too many currents. And the currents are taking them closer and closer to disaster. So it's time to get close to the shore. Amen? So a lot of people wind up drowning. If you watch, anytime you watch the surfers and the things out in the Pacific Ocean on the West Coast, they always talk about the undercurrent. Well, in church, there is an undercurrent. And if you're not watchful, and you're not paying attention, you'll get caught in that current. And the current never brings you in. The current always takes you away. Amen? The current will always take you away. So as a church, we need to be observant of what's happening on the shore, up on the surface, and also aware of what's happening below the shore as well. I don't know, how many of you heard about the men that drowned on the Mohawk a few years ago? They were out fishing, and what happened is, now I'm going to give you a small science class, a little small science class, amen? You ever take a shower? I'm going to explain this. I'm going to use this. You ever take a shower? Now, when you take a shower, you ever wonder, why do the shower curtains come in instead of going out? You ever think about that? I did. When I used to take a shower, I said, man, the water's coming, the water, and the curtains always come in. Y'all ever realize that?
Yeah.
Oh, y'all take baths. Okay, I understand that problem. But when you take a shower, the curtain always comes
in.
Well, why? Because the molecules from the water are moving faster than the stationary air outside. So because the molecules, you know, this is the outside class, no charge, all right? The molecules are moving the air around faster on the inside, so the resistance is less. And the air outside is stationary, so the reason the current comes in is because this current, the air outside is stronger because our molecules are stationary than the moving molecules inside of the shower, and that's why it blows in.
Yeah.
So now you know. No charge. Well, what happens in church is too many of us are getting caught up in the moving air. Amen. And instead of us resisting, we're allowing the current, the molecules, the Florida air to keep moving. And instead of us getting, we get pushed further and further and further away from God. It's time for us in the church, let's get close to God. Amen. We don't need to keep getting caught up in everything that's happening. Everything that's happening is not of God. Because these are the last days. And last days indicated would be the will of the people. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. We're going to go over the will of the people. Now, what we're trying to do is identify what causes an individual to become a spiritual renegade. Amen?
Amen?
What causes them to become a spiritual renegade? Actually, I went to RPI. I know a whole lot of science stuff, but I can teach you all this science. Amen? We're going to just... when it applies and the Lord brings it to me, I give it to you. Amen? But the law of nature support... The Word of God is supported by the law of nature. Amen. Everything in nature is supported by God. The scripture said that God created all things. And everything belongs to him. Amen. So he lends man the wisdom to understand. Revelation 3:14, amen. Now, we're dealing with the character traits, how to identify when someone is slowly but surely losing their stand with God, amen? We only got 10 more minutes, so y'all hang with me, okay? And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write. Now this said, these things says the what? Amen means this is absolutely truth. Says the truth, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thy are neither cold nor hot. Amen. God is showing John this revelation concerning the Laodicean church. 2,000 years ago, John saw the church today. And he saw in the Laodicean church that people are not hot for God or they're not cold, but they want to have a form of godliness so they can feel all right. Amen. When you're straddling the fence, you are partaking in both worlds. You're partaking in the world of the church, and you're partaking in the world. Amen. So you're trying to have a part of both worlds. So God, John sees this Laodicean church. He said, wow, I'm looking at the saints. They're not hot and they're not cold. Amen. He said, but I would that thou wert cold or hot, and because thou art. Anybody ever drink some lukewarm water? Can we drink that water? What's the first thing you do? Spit it out. Right? Amen. God's word is so, I mean, he gives us practical application so we can understand it. So he said that as you do when you drink something that's lukewarm, so does God when he comes to his church. Amen. He said, lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because, now this is the characteristics of someone who's not on fire for God, someone who's straddling the fence, someone who's in the middle. Can we say in the middle?
Middle.
Come on, in the middle.
Middle.
Amen. It's time to get on fire for God. Amen. Because thou sayest, I am rich. Now, one of the signs of the last days that they are covetous. Covetous means what? Greedy for money. Rich and increase with good and have need of
nothing.
Now, that is what they see through their natural eyes. But the issue when it comes to being a renegade is not the natural, it is the
spiritual
eyes. Amen. And knowest not that thou art
wretched
and miserable. Wait a minute. I mean, this is two opposites. I mean, diametrically opposite. You're two ends of the pole. This is the north and the south pole. This is east and west. They are completely different. So how do you get that mixed up to think that you're all right when it says that you're what? You're wretched, miserable, poor. Wait a minute. How can you be rich and
poor?
How can you say I'm increased with good and have need of nothing and you are miserable? Because your focus is on the natural. And the Lord is trying to bring us back to the spiritual. Amen. Miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Gold tried in the fire is representative of our what? Faith. Amen. If we go to Peter, I think go to Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, real fast. We'll come back to this. Gold is always symbolic of our faith. Amen. So we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1 real fast. And then we will come right back to this one. Amen.
Amen.
The And we're going to read, let's go verse 5 to verse 5. Well, let's go to verse 3, amen. I'm going to stay on course no matter what. At the appointed time, I'm going to finish. Amen. Let's go to verse 3. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his, what kind of mercy? Thank God for abundant mercy. Has begotten us again unto a, we don't have a dead hope. Amen. If we're in church, we have a what? Lively hope by the what? Resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. We go into the next one. Who are what? Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the what? Last time, where ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season you are in what? Heaven is through manifold temptations that what? The trial of your faith. The trial of your what? Faith being the gold is what?
Perishing.
So that the trial of your faith, he said, I counsel to be by gold tried in the what?
Fire.
So he's talking about our faith. Amen. That the trial of your faith being more precious than gold tried in fire might be found to
praise,
honor, and glory at thee. Anybody make for the Lord to appear? So when he goes back to Revelation 3:15, he said that I counsel you to buy me what? Gold that is tried in the fire. He's talking about our faith. Much more precious than gold, though be tried with fire, might be found unto
praise and honor and glory.
In order for your faith to be found unto praise and honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, that means you have to endure until the end. Amen. He that endureth to the end, the same
shall be saved.
Counsel you to buy me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be
rich.
You can't be rich outside of God. I don't care how much money you got, because that's the natural. God is always concerned about our spirituality before he's concerned about the natural. Amen. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes. So he said earlier, he said they were blind, naked, and could not see. But then he said, now you need to what? God is talking about, this is where we have to see. In order for us not to be a spiritual renegade, we need to stop seeing things through our natural eyes. And we need to start seeing things as God sees them. Amen. Because the will of the people is natural. The will of God is always spiritual. Why? Because God is a spirit. So God always looks at the spiritual part, but we in our natural bodies always look at the natural. Well, the Bible talks about the spiritual and the natural, and the carnal man and the natural man is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 2 in your free time, about how the natural man rivals the spiritual man. Amen? So God is trying to show them, the rebel in the Laodicean church, their focus is wrong. The spiritual renegade look at what's happening naturally. God is trying to get us to see what's happening spiritually. A renegade. Amen? Next verse. As many as I love, thank God for rebuke. Thank God for chastening. He said, be various therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and he's knocking at the door of what? The church. The Laodicean church. God is trying to get back into the church. Well, what happened? How did God get outside of the church? because of their carnal, natural way of thinking. They thought they were working with God when all along they were working against God. You know what they were? The Laodicean church were Brother Saul. They thought they were doing God a favor. And the Lord said, you can't fight against God. Well, that's the spirit of the Laodicean church. They will fight against God and think they are doing God a favor. But he said, be zealous therefore and repent. Amen. You need to change. Amen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that's all we want to do tonight is what? Overcome. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also. Who's the one that's talking now?
Jesus.
Right. He said, you can overcome as I overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Paul tells Timothy, he said, do thy diligence to come unto me shortly. He said, I need you to come unto me as fast as you can. He said, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Amen. Saints of God, we have to be on alarm. We have to be alert, not to get caught up with the things of this world. Amen. I love the things of this world more than God, because they will cause us to become a spiritual renegade. Then in closing, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 15. I'm going to skip a lot of this other stuff because I don't really have time to go through all of them. 2 Samuel chapter 15. But we're going to, this is dealing with Absalom, who betrayed his own father. Amen. Absalom betrayed his own father. And just for a reference, if you can read First Chronicles in your time, write this down, First Chronicles chapter 27, verse 33, and Second Samuel chapter 16, verses 22-23, it talks about Ahithophel. Now Ahithophel was one of David's counselors. And we're going to read a little later. It said, when Ahithophel spoke, his voice was as if it was a direct counsel from God. That's how mighty he was as far as God was concerned. Now, Ahithophel was one of David's faithful counselors. But Ahithophel betrayed David. Amen. And if you look at the whole story, and we don't go through all of it, Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. All right, Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. And we know that David had Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, killed. Amen. And then after Uriah was killed, all Israel knew that David had sinned with Bathsheba. And that David had had Bathsheba's husband killed, and that David had taken Bathsheba into his house. Amen. Many of the theologians believe that Ahithophel, even though he was David's counselor and within part of David, was looking for an opportunity to get vengeance back on David for what he had done to Bathsheba and her husband and destroying their relationship. So he had a revenge motive all along. He just waited for the opportunity to express it because Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. All right, so just remember that. And right now we're going to go to 2 Samuel, and we're going to read verses 1 through 15 to start off with initially. I probably skip around in a lot of this because I don't want to take too long. But we're dealing with how someone can be a part of you for so long. I seem like they're with you, but they really have another agenda in their heart. And all it takes is the right circumstances for those agendas, those private things to surface. Just like in the case of Judas, he was with the Lord 3.5 years, but then he betrayed the Lord. Ahithophel had been with David from the beginning of his reign, but the right opportunity came when Absalom, and there's a, Absalom was David's son. Amen. But when David had sinned with Bathsheba and Nathan went to David, he said, evil is going to arise out of your own house. And that's in 2 Samuel chapter 12. It talks about how evil is going to arise out of your own house and how your own household is going to be your enemy. And that brings us up to Absalom. Amen. So verse 1 reads, and it came to pass after this, that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man, and this is how someone is trying to do wrong, they plot, they connive, amen, to get the advantage. Amen, that when any man had a controversy, came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. Now they were coming to who? The king. But what Absalom was doing was he was standing in the way. So when anyone was coming to the king, he would intercept them before they got to the king. Amen. He had an agenda. And verse 3 said, and Absalom said unto him, see, that thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Now, there was someone in place, but remember, Absalom had an agenda. And Absalom's was a prophetic word from God, because they did say that evil was going to rise from where? Out of his own house. Amen. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which has any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. Now, King David was a just king. He made a mistake in the case of Bathsheba and Uriah, but he did believe in justice. Amen. And it was so that when any man came not to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to what? All of Israel. They came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. When someone don't mean right, they know how to get the agenda across. Amen. In private and in secret. And guess what? The king did not know any of this. Then we talk about someone who breaks a specific trust, who's no longer loyal, who's no longer committed, but they're promoting their own agenda. Amen. Absalom at this time is stealing the hearts of the men away from King David. Amen. And on this, at verse 7, and it came to pass after 40 years, it's not really 40 years, it should really be 4 years. Okay, because David reigned 40 years. And to understand it better, it really is a web of a mess there, because Absalom had been exiled from David for some years, and then David brought him back. And for 2 years, David would not see Absalom, and this is what has come to 40 years, really means should be 4 years. That Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. Now, is he telling the truth or a lie? He's telling a lie. He's not telling the truth. Amen. But he's promoting his own agenda. All right? One of the signs of the last church age is they will be denying the truth. Amen. He's promoting his own agenda. And the king said unto him, go in peace. So he rose and went to Hebron. But Absalom said spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as she hear the sound of the trumpet, then shall he say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. Well, he's supposed to be going to do sacrifice, but he had an agenda. He was no longer committed. Amen. He was no longer loyal to his own father. David was his father. David begot him. He was here as a result of David. But when someone has their own agenda, even the respect, disobedient parents, that respect is no longer there. Amen. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in there. They did it. This means they did it ignorantly because they did not know what Absalom was doing. He was so manipulative, and he was so determined to do what he was doing. He would get people to follow him, and they didn't even know what they were doing to promote his own cause. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel is David's counselor. Amen. How did Absalom even get Ahithophel, who was David's counselor, to come unto him? When someone doesn't mean right, they know how to pull every trick in the book, amen, to influence you the wrong way, amen? And said for Ahithophel the Gileadite, David's counselor, from the city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. That he's there doing the right thing, and Absalom sent for him. And the conspiracy was, when the devil wants to do something, it will be strong. For the people increased continually with Absalom, and there came a messenger to David saying, the heart of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto his servants that were with him in Jerusalem, arise and let us flee. For we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servant said unto the king, now this is, we're talking about someone who's loyal. Amen. Someone who's committed. Someone who will go all the way, will not allow anything to deter or to stop them. And the king's servant said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Now these are people that are committed. Amen. He said, why go with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile, whereas thou camest, but he said, you haven't even been here long enough to be committed like that. Amen. But when you're committed to God, when you're committed to the cause, no one can turn you. Amen. Should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may return thou and take, return thou and take thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee. So David said, look, you haven't been here long enough. You don't have to be running with me. You just stay back. Amen. But when someone is committed, and we talk about loyalty, commitment, that's the opposite of a renegade. A renegade is not committed. They go everywhere. Amen. Everything is coming through. They're a part of it. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in
death or life.
This is when you know you're committed. Whether in what? Death or life. Even there also will thy servant be. And when David saw that he could not be persuaded, David said to Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. That's someone who is committed. He said, even though I just got here, I haven't been here long. He said, but I'm with you through death or through life. Amen. That is true commitment. And just to let you know how much of a, well, let's keep going. We're going to read verses 30 and 31 of the same chapter, then we'll stop there. Amen. And it says, and David, verse 30, David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olivet, and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went in disgrace. Amen. But you know what? God still restored him later in his years. And all the people that were with him covered him in his head, and they went up weeping as they went. And one told David, saying, your counselor, your faithful person, the man that was with you, Ahithophel, is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And if you keep reading, when Ahithophel gave counsel to Absalom, and one of David's, I believe he left Hushai back to let him know what was going on in the kingdom. Ahithophel counseled one way, but Hushai, who was David's friend, who was back just to find out what was going on, when he heard what Ahithophel counseled, he realized that if Absalom followed Ahithophel's counsel, that David and his men would be destroyed. So Hushai counseled differently. He said, you know David, your father's a man of war, and he will not lodge with the people. He said, if you go and attack his people here, then David will be in the other place. And when your spirit is wrong, Ahithophel was insulted because Absalom did not keep his commandment. So you know what Ahithophel did? He went out and hung himself. That's what a traitor does. What did Judas do? He went out and hung himself. Well, that's how you know when someone has a wrong spirit. Amen. So tonight, those are the traits, characteristics of a spiritual enemy. They promote their own agendas. And in the end, when everything messes up, they go out and kill themselves. Well, the Bible says, from such we ought to turn away. They have a form of godliness. Ahithophel, the Bible says, gave counsel to Absalom gave counsel to Absalom and to David as though he was speaking directly from God. But then he killed himself. You know why? Because he was not loyal. He was not committed. Judas, after he betrayed the Lord, did what? Killed himself because he was not committed and he was not loyal. Amen. So the Bible said they have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. From such we ought to turn. Let us stand. Amen. So tonight we have identified the characteristics, the traits of a betrayer. Amen. And we just want to, you know, the most important thing that we want to do in all of our lives is do what is right in the eyes of God. Jesus said, I do always the things that are what? Pleasing in the sight of my Father. Tonight, that's what we want to do more than anything. You know, we've been influenced so much by the world system and people that the church spent more time trying to please people and individuals in church, even in opposition to God. Listen, if I don't ever want anyone here to please me more than God. God has to be number one. Amen. Because when you look to pleasing a man more than God, it's dangerous. It's disastrous. Amen. Because God will act. It will exact judgment in the case. We want to do more than anything. We want to do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Amen. I believe in the book of John. I think it's 1 John chapter 3. One of the things that we know that God hears our prayers because we do the things that are pleasing in His sight. The reason that we question whether or not God hears our prayers when we pray is because when we make do an inventory of our own lives, a personal assessment, we know that we have not done the things that are pleasing in His sight. And because we haven't done the things that are pleasing in His sight, that promotes doubt. When you don't do the things that are pleasing in His sight, that promotes doubt. Amen. So we just bless the Lord. And we have the opportunity to come up forward and lead us in prayer and dismiss us again.